Jesus, you are wonderful. Beauty without measure, heaven's greatest treasure. Jesus, you are wonderful.
Jesus, you are
wonderful, and that was wonderful too, right? I think that I can say on behalf of the worship team that we would like for all of you to register and come to conference. I am very grateful to be here with you all this morning. I want to say a special thank you again to all the folks who hosted us here this week as we were getting our work done for general conference worship preparation. We want to say a special thank you to Mac and Ross and Jimmy and Roger who were here providing food and all sorts of wonderful things for us. They also went through all the trouble to hang every banner that we wanted to use in the sanctuary, which looked like a lot of work to me. So thank you, thank you, thank you for that. I want to say thank you to Phyllis for hosting us. It's been a great week, except for the fact that two of us went down to illness in the middle of it. Other than that, it was perfect. I was reading through your bulletin, and I also wanted to say a special thank you to all of you who are a part of the Wednesday night stained glass class, who are putting together the art for General Conference on Wednesday nights. That is such a gift to us. So thank you for doing that. I also want to acknowledge one person who's visiting with us this morning who's going to kill me for doing it, but my cousin Christy, who lives in St. Pete, came in with her son as Isaiah earlier, so thank you for being here, my family. You have to stand up for a second so they know where you are. I know you don't want to, but you have to. There they are, right there in the back, yeah. Well, it seems all of us are chasing after something, be it our next drink or fix, or the latest gadget, or a meal that will satiate a hunger that maybe resides somewhere much deeper within us than our stomachs. Maybe it's a job that will pay us well. Don't go to ministry looking for that. Maybe it's a partner that will fulfill us or pay us, just a partner. Cravings and desires, some of them may even call them lusts, are not all bad. Desires or addictions can be good. Some are only seen as good maybe because they're more socially acceptable than others. I am from Colorado, so caffeine may be acceptable everywhere, marijuana only in a few places in America. I want to be clear as I start making jokes that not all desires are good, not all lusts are good, but we will get to that part just later in the sermon. For now, I want to say from the pulpit that someone lied to you when you were a child. Most likely, it was a female. She had gray hair. She was very, very sweet. She was probably filled with good intentions. She wanted the best for you. She wanted to do right by you, but she still lied. That dirty Sunday school teacher lied to you. She told you that the denial of your desires made you more holy. She probably didn't say it that way, but nonetheless, she told you the desires of denying your desires made you more holy and more pious. It made you strong and made you more godly. In their effort to protect us, our wonderful Sunday school teachers, in trying to protect us from evils they feared, they generalized, making everything that was pleasurable to us dangerous, and in effect, they hurt us. Noble as their efforts were, there was a cost to teaching us somehow subtly that pleasure is bad, in any form that it may come in. So this morning I ask you to indulge me and yourselves, in fact, by spending a few minutes pondering those things that someone once told you you shouldn't. Spend a few moments pondering those things that you passionately long for. If this weren't MCC, I would say that this is the first and only time that you'll have to indulge your passions while sitting in church, but I know you, and that you've done it before. In fact, just a little while ago, the paramedics had to be called in, everyone's fine. But I saw a few of you indulging your passions in preparation for the sermon this morning while you watched the paramedics work. You can laugh. So, within reason, within reason, I ask you to indulge yourselves this morning for a few minutes as we talk about some things that other people passionately long for. I want you to be thinking about those things that you long for. It's been said that the heart wants what the heart wants. Some 2,000 years ago, there was a group of astrologers, and they wanted knowledge. They were the scientists of their time, and they were not Jewish, and they were not Christian. We have to remind ourselves when we're reading Scripture that these people aren't Christians. There was no such thing as Christians in Scripture. I think we often look back at that and make them us when they weren't us. They weren't so different from us, but they weren't us. And these astrologers that we find in the Scripture, they were modern-day agnostics, scientists, or secular humanists. We call them the Magi. They were longing for answers to eternal and nagging questions that we all share in the scientific community of why. We grew up with this question, right? 5 years old, why? Just because. Why? Because. Why? It's very annoying in the five-year-olds, right? The truth is, we don't ever actually outgrow the adolescent why. We just learn as we grow up, most of the time, how to say that why in less annoying ways. Most of us, anyway. Their pursuit of knowledge of ancient scientists, their pursuit of knowledge led them to follow a star, thinking that this star might contain meaning or hope or a future. Now, it may seem far-fetched. This is one of those moments in Scripture where I think if we're actually reading, we sort of go, this is silly, that three men would see something in the sky and say, we should just follow that and see where that goes. It's the leprechaun story of our faith, you know, follow the rainbow, find the pot of gold. In this case, they took the gold with them just to be sure that they had it when they got there. But it's a little preposterous, and I think that sometimes we don't always mind the stories that we read. We just sort of accept them and say, well, it must be true because it's in Scripture. But when we think about this one, it really is rather fantastic that three educated men would just say, there's a star way up there, and we're going to just walk with the hopes of seeing where that's leading us. That's a little crazy. These were queer people. They were queer. And they were foreigners. They traversed into other countries without permission. They probably would be in trouble today. But nonetheless, these men, they followed this with faith. And I think that if we really begin to think about this, it might not be as crazy as we might at first believe. We, just like they, were taught in the power of stars when we were children. It's just like another desire that our Sunday school teachers, only not Sunday school teachers in this case, taught us to believe in. Many of you can probably say it with me from memory. Starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight, I wish I may, I wish I might, have the wish I wish tonight. See, everybody believes that stars have power, right? And if that one was hard to recall for you, maybe you missed that lesson along the way, they made it even easier for us to remember by turning it into an annoying little song that we can't forget. Twinkle, twinkle, little... We won't finish it. I'll spare you and me that. We should sing that song every Epiphany, though, really, when you think about it. It's an Epiphany song. It is a song of our faith, a song of our ancestors, of these queer men who saw a star in the sky and believed it had hope inside of it and followed after it with passion. Wrong order. Now about the... Hang on a second. Sorry. There we go. I was helping by giving two copies of this to our music people, and in the process, I mixed up my own copy. So in the footsteps of the Magi this morning, I want to ask you, what do you desire so strongly that you would traverse the world to have it? Before you answer, know that this is not one of those church questions where I'm looking for the correct Sunday school answer that where you should say Jesus. Some of you are, like me, recovering church nerds, however. This is a special category. I grew up in the Churches of Christ. We really believed that you had to know the Bible. My cousin is looking at me in this robe wondering what the heck has happened and why I'm now in drag. Which is another story. But Church nerd is a special category. It's beyond science sci-fi nerd. It's beyond the Star Trek nerd. It's beyond the band nerd. It's beyond the gay man Broadway nerds, and way less dramatic than that last group. And church nerd is a special category. The sad truth is that I was all of those nerds, and still to this day in some ways, all of those nerds rolled into one, with the church nerd just kind of topping it off. Some of you joined me in the socially tragic adolescent life path of church nerd. Bible trivia winners can unite this morning. For many years, when a pastor or a Sunday school teacher asked me about what I desired, what my passions were, I told them about desiring God, about the faith of Jesus, about having the evangelistic zeal of Paul, all these sorts of things that I was taught you should say when someone asks you what you want and what you desire. And I tried to not ask the hard questions of my faith because I had this strong sense that was imparted to me by the adults who didn't like questions, that if we asked too many questions of God, we would realize it was all a lie because God wasn't quite strong enough to stand up to those questions. So just give the patchwork answers that we've all put together. It'll all be safe, and believe, tell yourself that that's your real passion. This morning, I don't want you to provide that kind of answer to the question of what your passion is. We don't need pious versions of ourselves. What we need is authenticity. So as you think about your desires, be honest with yourself. Simultaneously, I want to address the converse side of what I grew up with, which is the liberal church that is often critiqued for saying that there's sort of anything goes, that we have to address the addictions that drive our behaviors as well as we think about the things that we desire and lust for and long for. I don't want you to think that in the sermon that I would promote a faith that values authenticity as a way of saying anything goes. Well, I am authentically an addict. I'm addicted to alcohol, so I drive after that passion because that's who I am. I was genetically predisposed to be that. We could make a very strong argument that looks a lot like other arguments we've seen that somebody could try to suggest that's just who I am. I think rather that I would go with Scripture, which says that all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. Don't just give a church answer and say Jesus to appease me or some idea of what you have in your own mind of what you should say to what your passions are, unless Jesus is the answer to you. But be honest with yourself and follow the Magi. Their answers to this question were pretty unorthodox, but they still found Jesus on their alternative road that they took to faith. What is your road? If the answer for you is Buddhist meditation, then seek that. If your answer is getting out of the church and getting into the streets to help homeless people or undocumented workers or whomever it might be, go out and do that. Live that passion. Now, about the desires, the addictions that are not making us better. First of all, let's just stop with the guilt and shame crap that churches have been doing for way too long and start the cycle that really only makes the cycle worse and feeds into our addictions. Secondly, I'm a pastor, and I'm not here to sell you the church version of a new gym membership on the first Sunday of the year. Truly facing our addictions is not some kind of New Year's resolution that we're going to make this morning in church, thinking that that somehow is going to change the reality of our desires and our problems when we walk out of the doors. Facing our darker desires and our addictions, in some cases, maybe we could even go so far as to say facing our demons, doing that is hard work. The Magi don't give us much guidance here, but they do give us some good fodder, I think, to ponder. Don't focus on the negative desires that you have, but instead see that star of hope that rises in the sky and follow after that. That is a good first step toward getting healthy. And then read more parts of the Bible where you can find the second and third and twelfth steps that will help you find wholeness and healing. Our Magi that guide us on this epiphany journey bring gifts to the Christ child, but they bring more than just gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They also bring a message that's embodied in their journey. This morning, the Magi ask you, what is your star? They ask, as they pursue seek this star that is streaking through the sky, maybe it was a meteor shower, and that's why they went in a certain direction. They were following the way that everything was streaking through the sky. whatever it was, they were seeking wholeness and hope. They believed that they would find something that their hearts desired. Over this holiday season, we've had a lot of things that we were probably desiring. How many of us were chasing after some piece of the American dream, a new must-have piece of technology, the latest clothing trends, or even maybe a fancy new car? As we enter the time of resolution making at the new year, are we thinking critically about those resolutions? Can it be more than a diet that we need to go on because of all the food that we ate over the holidays? Can it be something that is about a holistic wellness that we seek for our lives, not just about losing a few pounds? Can it be less about becoming more pious in our spiritual goals for the year and more about becoming more authentic? Can it be about finding something we want that is worth chasing after? Real authentic faith is not something that we can fake at church or delude ourselves into. It's something that compels us from somewhere deep within our own hearts and our souls. I think I can honestly tell you that I spent way too long in my own faith pretending that I felt it somewhere deep within. All the time actually having something back there saying, you don't really believe that. And it took for me an ability to say, I don't have to believe what the church, quote unquote, the church always says is what is the right thing. But I can go out and I can read scripture, I can study other faiths, and in doing so, I can find that one truth that leads all of us to that destination that we share. If something is compelling you from deep within, find that. If your faith isn't doing that, change it. I suggest to you this morning you should stop trying to fake it. Stop trying to beat yourself up because it's something wrong with you. This seems to be working for everyone else around me. I must be missing something. No, it just may not work for you the same way as the person next to you. Or maybe they're just faking it better than you are. Don't consider yourself a bad Christian. Just get out and find your own star. Ask your why questions. Even if you start to sound like the repetitive five-year-old again, it's okay. Trust that the divine actually is big enough to stand up to why. If you were created by that same divine, I think you can that the why will be okay. Start your own Magi journey. Even if it means taking the risk that the Magi took of stepping out of their own faith tradition to do it. Even if it means doing something that seems scary or crazy. Search the heavens for that thing that does compel you, that emboldens you, that inspires you, and then run after it. You, your church, our entire denomination, our world, and the sacred will be blessed when we go after something that we believe instead of just trying to force something that we are pretty apathetic about. Proverbs says, "Search for wisdom as you would search for silver or hidden treasure. Then you will understand what it means to know God." And listen to this, "For it is from God that we discover all wisdom and common sense and understanding." Common sense. We need some common sense in our faith to be able to say, this ain't working, but I'm going to try something else that will. Common sense. Follow the Magi. Pursue your star. Live this one life that you were given with authenticity, deep faith, and passion. May it be so. Amen.
Rejoice. are my refuge.
Let us take a moment to prepare our hearts.